I always had my theories about why Jack died. Yet somehow all of the puzzle pieces never quite fit. Of everyone, I held the most. But for over 30 years, I've carried them around, shifting and turning them again and again, searching for just the right configuration that would make them all fall into place. I'm tired of carrying these pieces alone. Maybe if I get them all out in the open, once and for all, maybe somebody out there can help me find the answers to my questions. After all, we all searched together. Then we all waited by our phones together. When the phones didn't ring, and the missing posters tore and fell down, and the t-shirts were outgrown, we all lost hope together. Finally, when none of us expected it, we all grieved together. Maybe, together, we can set these pieces in place so that Jack and my heart can finally rest in peace.
Good evening, Twin Cities. This is Roscoe DeFreeze coming to you on Minneapolis's favorite station for pop, rock, and today's greatest hits. KIRA 98.8. It's 17 minutes past 6 on November 25, 1989, and we are here to let you rock!
My breath hung like a frozen cloud as we waited to set out for the Little Mermaid. It was a typical late fall Minnesota evening, below freezing, but not sub-zero yet. My boyfriend Jack was the only one of us with a valid license, so he was our chauffeur by default. Jack and I were in our customary positions as driver and shotgun. My best friend and next-door neighbor, Carrie McCusick, annoyed, sighed behind me.
Cody's such a twerp, making us wait like this.
Carrie complained about her little brother as she grabbed a space blanket from her emergency provisions bag and wrapped it around her legs. Seconds later, Cody jumped in the back, as always behind Jack, his straight sandy blonde hair swishing against his rosy cheeks.
Sorry, guys. Michael just got Sim City.
Who cares?
Really?
I stand corrected.
Jack's curly blonde locks crept out uncontrollably from below the red winter hat with white hearts I had not so expertly knitted for him. Jack's used yellow VW Beetle convertible that he bought with babysitting money when he turned 16 had a few problems. The most significant being that she couldn't idle in temperatures below 36 degrees. As soon as Cody's backside started to warm up the back seat, Jack tried to start the car, but as usual, she struggled to turn on in the cold.
I swear, as soon as I turned 16...
Jack glanced at me, a little embarrassed.
I'll go.
Jack pointed at the engine in the back. Unsurprised, I nodded as he jumped out. I slid over into the driver's seat. Running behind the car, he opened the trunk, which also happened to be where the engine
was. Give her a little bit.
Jack banged on something while I turned the key and pressed the gas pedal. She roared to life, and I slipped back to the passenger's side with a quick glance at myself in the mirror as Jack got back in, shaking his freezing hands.
Not bad, Kira.
I complimented myself as I smoothed down my jet black hair. Jack blew on his fingers, trying unsuccessfully to warm them. Grabbing my hand, he pulled off my mitten and wrapped his fingers around mine to steal my warmth.
See?
I pulled my hand back and rubbed my fingers together to warm them. Meanwhile, Cody's hand darted between the front seats with the speed of a cobra and snatched my mitten from Jack. Cody held it above his head, taunting me as I stretched my arm as far as I could over the seats.
Cody!
I attempted to scold, but gave up, begging for Carrie's intervention with my eyes.
Don't look at me. What do you expect from a half pint?
But it was all a ruse. To distract him, she walloped Cody in the chest with a sturdy thump and grabbed the mitten with her other hand. She tossed it back over the front seats in my direction. Jack managed to catch it before I had barely begun to reach for it, but smooth as silk, he slid it back over my hand and bent over to give my mittened hand a gentlemanly kiss.
I swear I will never steal your hand warmer again, my dear Lady Kira.
As he gazed at me, Jack raised the fingers of his hand in the Boy Scout salute, his blue eyes twinkling. All was forgiven. We had just picked up Cody at his best friend and, spoiler alert, my future husband Michael's house, which was located on a ridge on the North Hill.
So where are we going?
We puttered downhill to Main Street and turned south to head through downtown on our way to dinner and a movie.
The Little Mermaid.
What? You gotta be kidding me.
Cody, I know your 12-year-old brain struggles with basic concepts, but you know we have to keep Jackal here away from you-know-who, so paste a smile on your face and prepare yourself for singing seafood.
Wait, Kira, was this your idea?
Well, yeah.
Figures.
A charming small town built on the backs of lumberjacks, Norman Rockwell Americana with a pinch of Thomas Kincaid nostalgia, Stillwater is nestled next to the St. Croix River, a gently rolling river that divides Minnesota from Wisconsin. We turned right onto Main, past the ruins of the old prison, and cruised south down Main, quickly reaching the heart of downtown.
Ooh, shooting star, quick. Kira, make a wish.
I wish?
We crossed Chestnut, and following Jack's pointer finger, I glanced east at the lift bridge, peppered with cars coming to and from Wisconsin. The stone facades of Stillwater's quaint shops flanked us on both sides. Throbbing with light and festooned with garlands, the shops dressed in their finest for the coming Christmas season.
I wish Cody would quit whining before his lips freeze off.
I sprang over my seat, squashed Cody against the back seat as I unrolled the window.
What the heck? Between you and Carrie, it'll be a miracle I make it to manhood.
I settled down in the back seat between my two besties, Cody and Carrie, wrapping my arms around each of them.
You and I both knew it was love, but we traveled different roads along the way.
We continued south as Jack crooned the Grey Duck's Angel at the top of his lungs. Jaxie pulled us out of the well-lit downtown into the darkness that lay just beyond, the border between the little town and the remnants of the big woods. We shot past the sandstone cliff that juts up from the south end of town and holds up the entire South Hill.
And I'm waiting for you, my little angel.
Past the Rendezvous Cafe and the turn-up lookout ridge where the McCusick's house and mine waited side by side for our return, Jaxie carried us. Three best friends and their trusty adolescent chauffeur in a little yellow bug in the midst of the darkness.
Jack had worked for 3 years to save up enough for that cute little car. It was that same little yellow car that was pulled up, smashed beyond all hope of repair from the bottom of the St. Croix River on the 31st of August, 1991. As soon as its bumper cleared the water, we all knew it was Jack's car. The moment we saw that Jaxie vanity plate. But that moment, like falling rock, still waited ahead of us. We were teenagers, and it was a Friday night. Our first stop was for pizza. Not particularly eager to get to a kid's movie, my three companions dawdled at the pizza parlor.
I mean, yeah, is that even a question? Of course. I need to replenish my calories after all.
I second that.
So, we arrived a little late to the theater.
Amid a sea of 8 to 10-year-old girls, it was an unpleasant discovery that the only row left with 4 seats together was flanked by none other than Drake Freiner. Drake is my age. He and I, there never was, nor will there ever be a we when it comes to Drake and me. He and I were sophomores at the time. Drake was a broody, dark-haired kid with a round belly and long, thin legs reminiscent of Ratatouille's Anton Ego. Underneath his huge head of frizzy hair that could generously be called an afro, he wore a pair of thick glasses held together by duct tape and band-aids. The only positive association that Jack and I had with Drake was as quiz bowl teammates. He was a valuable member of our team, but personally I found him unnerving. Around school and even in my neighborhood, he always seemed to be nearby watching me. True to form, Drake just stared at us as we waited at the end of his row, not standing up or even moving his legs so we could get to our seats.
"Move it, frog legs,"
Carrie bellowed as she pushed past him, shoving his spindly legs out of the way.
"My appendages may be a touch on the thin side, but I assure you they are of human origin, Miss McCusick, unlike your younger sibling."
"What? Speak for yourself, Kermit."
Cody followed Carrie, scowling.
"Please, ladies first."
"Oh, I wouldn't dream of it. You might catch frogpox sitting next to little old Drakey Poo."
"I'm only 29.
A man's gotta do what a man's gotta do."
"Do it for the kids, Dad."
Jack and I hesitated, both of us half-heartedly vying to be the bigger person who would volunteer to sit next to Drake.
"Don't make me watch this dumb chick flick next to two girls."
Jack obliged, which left me with the less than savory task of sitting next to Drake. As I entered, Drake stuck out his legs and tripped me. Not expecting this even from Drake, I fell face first. Thankfully, Jack caught me before my nose hit the floor.
"Creep,"
I glared at Drake, willing my vengeful stare to set his ridiculous teased and sprayed hair aflame. As much as I would have liked it. Of course, that didn't really happen. Drake snorted in reply. He smelled like Aquanet, fish food, and animal dung, and I sat as close to Jack as I could possibly get.
"What? Nobody believes that dude has scissors for fingers."
"Please, Cody. Everybody knows it's just a movie."
"Pipe down, heathens."
Drake barked at us with a warning glare of his own.
"Explain yourself, Drake Griffin Freiner. You're not exactly the Pope."
"Ah, but don't you see?"
Cody speculated with a David Copperfield wave of his hand.
"We don't believe in the Disney magic."
"Simpleton. The film Edward Scissorhands is distributed by 20th Century Fox, not Disney."
"Who cares?"
By way of rebuttal, Drake simply snorted again, and a piece of popcorn shot out of his mouth and landed on my chest. Brushing it back at him with a disgusted grunt, I pressed Jack's muscular chest back with my elbow and made sarcastic eye contact with Cody. We rolled our eyes sympathetically at each other, but we quieted down a bit. Then the movie began. Chances are good you've heard of a popular little ditty called Kiss the Girl. Maybe you have some sweet memories attached to it. But me? Well, let me tell you all about it. Unsuspectingly nestled against Jack's shoulder, his chin-length blonde ringlets tickling my cheek, I munched cheese popcorn. But you know that no matter how careful you are, that darn cheese powder always sticks to your fingers. I leaned over Jack to grab a paper napkin Carrie passed to Cody, who held it out to me with his right hand. When I settled back into my chair to wipe my hands, all of a sudden I felt Drake's body in my space. Freaked, I turned my head on instinct in his direction, scowling, starting to scold. And right then and there, he planted one on me, a big, slurpy kiss. In the midst of that unholy kiss, I ripped my head away from him and shoved him, surprised at how little resistance his underdeveloped body offered, shouting,
"Gross! Get your wormy tongue out of my mouth!"
To the shocked delight of the tweens behind us. Jack jumped to his converse-shod feet, fists raised, uttering a vague and slightly ominous,
"Hey!
I'm sorry.
Drake triple apologized, eyes so wide I thought they might pop out of his head as he literally hopped out of his seat. Well, like a frog. He bounded toward the red exit sign, his ridiculously long legs allowing him to cover at least twice as much ground in one stride as I could have, as his popcorn shot up into the air like fat flies with his every step. As Drake evacuated, I shouted at his retreating back,
"Kiss me again, and you'll lose your tongue next time, freak!"
Jack just stood there for a moment, huffing, fists still raised, staring angrily at the aisle Drake had just vacated. Until a prepubescent girl behind us boldly called out,
"Sit down, you hairy beanpole!"
Accompanied by a chorus of nervous giggles from her gang of girlfriends, Jack snapped to his senses.
"I'm so sorry, I didn't mean..."
Jack shrank into his seat, put his arm around me, and drew me against his chest. It wasn't clear if he was apologizing to his heckler or to me, maybe both.
"Drake, you better have health insurance."
Cody grabbed Carrie's wrist. She was headed after Drake in a blaze of righteous anger. As he tried to haul her back to her seat, whispering under his breath,
"Carrie, let Jack and Kira take care of this."
She shook off her brother's hand with one swift shake. But since Drake had fled out of the theater, Carrie plopped down next to me protectively in Drake's old seat. As the popcorn dust settled, Carrie, Jack, and I huddled together to watch the rest of the movie. I wish that was all I have to say about Drake Franer. Unfortunately, his story is interwoven with mine even now, so you'll hear about him again. You've been warned. And with that final warning of impending Drake from our faithful narrator, Kira Grace, we conclude the pilot episode of...
The Jack of Hearts podcast. I want to thank all my friends for coming together to make this audio play with me. The Jack of Hearts podcast is dedicated to my daughter, Ariana, who just began her first year studying environmental conservation through performing arts at Red Rocks University. Oh, go Rurats! Harry Bear, I hope this podcast helps keep our bedtime story tradition going, even though you're all grown up.
Hey, grown.
Just finishing the pilot for Airy. You want to say hi?
No. Just, could you keep it down a bit? It's been a long day, and I just need some quiet.
Hi, I'm back. Sorry, friends, that was my husband, Johan, Ariana's dad. Not really her dad. A long story. Ariana, this is probably as good a time as any to let you know that I'm going to do the queries and questions part of the podcast in just one take. Hope you'll forgive my mistakes and any interruptions. Anyhow, thanks for listening. And if you or your friends are interested in getting your hot little hands on your very own Jack of Hearts or Rurats caps, t-shirts, or mugs, head over to my Redbubble account or check on our Patreon page for more exclusive merch for our patrons. It's snowing! Johan, look, it's snowing!
I've seen it.
But look at it. Isn't it beautiful?
It is. It really is. Kind of reminds me of, you know, that day.
Yeah, that was a good day. A great day. I bet you didn't think that...
No, I didn't. How could I? You don't go to a bookstore expecting to find your future wife.
On that note, I hope you liked this first episode, Airy. And remember, may your friends be close, your true love closer. And may the monsters under your bed sleep just a little longer than you.
was love that made you listen to the Jack of Hearts podcast. Written and produced by yours truly, April Santree James. And there's just one thing left I need to say. Oh, it was many years in the making, all that waiting, so much waiting, with all my angels. By Chris Hagen and Cody by Joe.